I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, back in the book of Exodus for just a moment. I want to read you a verse or two from the first chapter of Exodus, and then we'll turn over into the New Testament to the book of Romans for a couple of other verses. And I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that I think we need to hear more about, and that is the subject of fearing God. Talk to you this morning on the fear of God. So looking back at Exodus chapter 1. We're glad to have Betty Smith with us today. Welcome, Betty. Up here for a few days to visit. Good to see her. chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, please. The Bible says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive." Now I want you to notice in verse 17, there's a statement here it's something that's missing in our society today. I don't know if Senator Haynes heard the message in the early service or not, but he prayed a moment ago for us to fear God. I don't think he did. But he prayed that we would learn to fear God. That is something that is missing in our society. The Egyptians gave orders, but the midwives said there is a law higher than the law. There's a law higher than the Egyptian law. There is the law of God, thou shalt not kill. And we're not going to kill these little babies when they're born. It's just not going to happen. We fear God. We'd rather have the Pharaoh mad at us than have the God of heaven mad at us. And so they feared God. Now, with that in mind, I want you to look at Romans chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in the 10th verse. This chapter is basically Paul's indictment on the moral condition of man, on the sinful condition of man. These verses are so simple, and yet they amplify the need that all of us have as sinners before God. And I want you to look at the 10th verse. The Bible here says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used, deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of fearing God. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless and help us this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the precious Word of God. Lord, we're so thankful that this Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we realize this morning as we open the pages of God and open the Word of God, we are opening the mind of God. And so, Father, help us this morning as we look at your mind that we will see this great matter of learning to fear our God. Lord, give us, I pray, a fearful heart. Help us to understand the matter that is before us today. And Lord, I pray that you'll have liberty to move and work and speak to our hearts, and to draw each and every one of us to your side. Lord, if there is someone here who does not know for sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, Help them to see their need today. And Lord, for those of us that know Christ as our Savior, and we're assured that heaven is our home, give us, I pray, a burdened heart to know you better. And Lord, I pray that you'll get victory in our hearts today. May we leave here rejoicing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about our society today, and we think about our culture today, if you think about it very long, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get depressed. Every day you pick up the newspaper and you see the after effects of what Paul describes here in this passage of Scripture, how that we are all sinners. You see murder and mayhem. You see disobedience. You see rebellion. You see things that are heinous crimes, yet sometimes committed, quote unquote, in the name of God. You see a society that seems to be at war with each other. You see these things that Paul mentioned here, revealed with every story that's run on the news and just about every page of the newspaper. I never cease to be amazed at the wickedness of mankind. I never cease to be amazed. I remember when I first started in the ministry, and someone would say, "Pastor, you're not going to believe this," and then they would tell me what somebody did. And I remember many, many times sitting there saying, "Man, I can't believe that they did that." But I'm going to be honest with you, folks. After 29 years of being in the ministry, I'm not shocked by anything anymore. Nothing anybody does anymore shocks me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I know that I am no longer surprised, nor am I any longer shocked at the depravity of man. It's amazing the way, how far away from God our civilization has come. It's sad that what goes on out in the world is shocking, but I tell you what's even more shocking to me is what is going on in the name of the Lord. What's going on in our churches? And we are in some very troubling conditions in our churches today. The Word of God, it has been rejected and it has been denied and it has been argued away. And now we are seeing not only the effects of sin in our society, but we're seeing the effects of sin even in the church. And I could go on and on and on and give you story after story. I could tell you things that would curl your hair and shock you, but I'm not going to do that this morning. I think all of us are fully aware of the condition that our world is in. And all these terrible incidents that we see happen every day in our world have something in common. They prove that there is something fundamentally wrong with our society's perception of the truth and our society's perception of reality. We find the missing component in Paul's conclusion of the analysis of the human moral condition given in the text that I read for you in verse 10 through verse 18. And when you get to the 18th verse and you see Paul kind of summarize and wrap up his discussion about man's condition, what we see here is that there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, folks, you mark it down, people who are not afraid to sin and just rebel against the Word of God, rebel against the authority of God, people who are not afraid to sin and are not afraid of God and who He is, have no proper regard for God. They simply do not have a proper regard for God and who He is. I'm amazed at the liberals in our country who are still barking the same old stuff that they've been barking that for 50, 60 years has proven that it is not the answer and does not work. But I'm just amazed that the liberals just keep using the same old playbook and are trying to convince America that what we need in our country is more dependence upon them to provide for us that which would make us happy. Folks, I guarantee you're going to hear this same old stuff in the upcoming elections that are upon us. You're going to hear the same old stuff, the same old playbook is going to be used, and they're going to try to convince you that what America needs are better jobs and better living conditions and more housing and better after-school programs and better health care and all the rest. And folks, these are not the answers. What America needs is not going to be found in social programs, nor is it going to be found in dollars and cents. What this country needs is to have a heart transplant transplanted by the grace and goodness of God as we get back to a realization that there's a God on the throne and every one of us is accountable to that God, and God has laid down in His book what man needs to do in order to be rightly related to Him, and we need to get back to a fear of God in our lives. That's what's wrong with our country. Man will just continue to get worse and worse unless something is done to change the heart. Where there is no fear of God, there is no regard for righteousness. A society that thinks lowly of God cannot think highly of man. And so we don't need more programs. What we need is to have on every corner, in every town, in every city, an old-fashioned, hard-ribbed gospel preacher who will stand up and hold up the King James Bible and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and preach the Word of God and lead men to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what this country needs. Now, don't you go listen. Don't you listen to all this junk that comes out. I know it's soothing and it sounds good to the ear, but folks, listen. Money is not the solution. Pouring money into social programs is not the answer. How many of you sitting right here in this room this morning were at the bottom of the barrel looking up? How many of you were hanging on with one pinky finger, just about ready to slip into the abyss when all of a sudden somebody came to you with the gospel and shared Jesus with you, and now your life has been turned around? I would not be where I am today had not somebody taken the Bible and showed me how to be saved. As a matter of fact, I'm 51 years of age. I know I don't look it. You're so kind to say that. I'm 51 years of age. I would not be on this planet today had not grace stepped in and saved my soul. And neither would many of you. Man needs the gospel. Now, let's think about this matter of fearing God. The first thing I want to do is give you a description of the word fear. If you look at verse 17, there is no fear of God before their eyes. What does that word mean? What does that word mean? It does not mean that you're afraid of God. I want you to understand that. When it talks, you understand the idea behind fear. A policeman stands out here in the middle of 140. He's got his lights going on his car. He's standing there with a big 9mm strapped to his side. He's got a badge on. He's got his uniform on. He's got his hat on. And he puts his hand up. He's a brave man if he gets out in the middle of 140 and does that. But he puts his hand up. And every car coming down over that hill stops. Why? Because of his authority. It's not that he has the physical power to put his hand out and stop a charging vehicle doing 100 miles an hour down that hill. But he has the authority to stop that car as it comes down the hill. And the driver will see him and will fear his authority and fear what could happen if he does not stop when the policeman tells him to stop. Now, the word fear here is the Greek word phobos, P-H-O-B-O-S, phobos. You say, that sounds reasonably familiar. It should. We have what we call phobias. There are certain things that we have a fear of. I personally have a fear of snakes. Now, you may have snakes, and if you do, God bless you. I'm not going to, but God bless you. I'm afraid of snakes. I don't know why I'm afraid of snakes. But I am scared to death of a snake. I have a fear of snakes. I don't want to get within rock-throwing distance of a snake. And I can throw a rock pretty far. I don't want anything to do with them. Other people are afraid of spiders. Other people are afraid of falling, or they have claustrophobia, where they are afraid of tight, enclosed spaces. And that's what the word phobos means. It's the idea behind it. Now, if you get a Bible dictionary and you look up the word fear, here's what it will tell you. To fear God means to have a proper view and perspective of God. I looked at one author and he said it this way. It is a reverential awe of God. A reverential awe of God. To have respect. Just like you're coming over the hill on 140 and the policeman has his hand out and you have respect for who he is and you have respect for his authority, and so you stop your vehicle. And that's the idea behind this word. Now, folks, understand this. Man can only have this perspective of God as he has a proper relationship with God. You see people all over our country today killing one another, stealing and cursing and cheating and lying and committing all manner of infidelity. Why? Simply because they do not fear God. They do not fear God. Folks, all you got to do is read this Bible and you will see that one of these days, every single one of us is going to stand and give an account to God who will judge us based on His Word. Every one of us. And I'm telling you, in knowing that, that ought to make us fear God. That ought to make us say, wait a minute, I'm not going to override God's authority. I'm not going to bypass God's authority. And that ought to drive us to the Word of God, where we learn what God requires of us and what God is going to do and who God is and what gives Him the basis to do what He's going to do. How do you find it? You find that in the Word. And so man can only have this perspective, this reverential awe, as he has a proper relationship with God. Now, go back in your mind. Don't need to turn to it for the sake of time. But go back in your mind to the text that I read out of Exodus 1. In that 17th verse, the Bible tells us that the midwives feared God. And because they did, they could not kill the newborn babies, the newborn male babies. They could not kill the babies because they feared God. Now, I'm sure that somebody looked at them and said, but hey, you're going to get the Egyptian authorities mad at you. They said, I don't care. I'd rather have Pharaoh mad at me than have God mad at me any day. And folks, I could go through the Bible here and give you instance after instance and passage after passage and verse after verse and show you that fearing God is a right and proper motivation for doing the right thing. Let me have you turn back to Matthew 10. Go back to Matthew 10 for just a minute. Let me just give you one reference here. Matthew chapter 10. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Look at the 26th verse. Matthew 10 and verse 26. Look at it, please. It said, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be made that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now I want you to look at that 28th verse. That is a very important verse. The Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples here. And he tells them, he's commissioning them, he's sending them out to proclaim the gospel. And what he says to them is this: you don't need to fear man. Oh, some man can kill your physical body, but that man cannot touch your soul. He said, don't let man and the fear of men be your motivation or not be your motivation for preaching the gospel. He said, here's what you ought to fear. If you're going to fear anything, you ought to fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul. You know what that means, folks? That means that we are to fear God. He's not talking about the devil here. He's talking about God here. He's saying, you better fear the one who is the giver and taker of life. The devil's not the giver and taker of life. God is the giver and taker of life. And he said, you better learn to fear God. God can, with just a thought, slay your physical body and cast your soul into the burning fires of hell. And I don't know about you folks, but if God has that kind of authority and God has that kind of might, I'm going to fear that God. I'm going to fear the God of heaven. Do you remember when Herod was speaking in Acts chapter 12? And Luke was telling us about how the Jews were on the outs with Herod. And Herod was upset with them. As a matter of fact, they were afraid that Herod might, you know, punish them somehow. And so they were all over at Caesarea, over in the arena. And they were having the games. You know, the gladiators and all, you know, the summer games. And everybody was there. Place was packed to the hilt. And all of a sudden, Herod walked in. Well, when Herod walked in, all the people, all the Jews, they were trying to butter him up. And they were applauding and they were clapping and they were so excited that he came. And they were calling for him to speak and say something. So Herod walks over and he takes his hand and raises it in the air and he starts talking to the people. And when he was talking to the people, the Jews spoke out in unison, started a chant, and started ringing throughout the whole place. This is the voice of a God, they said. And Herod was so tickled, and he was so pleased, and he looked out at the crowd and said amen to everything they were saying. And he just absorbed all this worship and praise that the people were directing towards him. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, boom, just like that, Herod was struck by the angel of the Lord. And he fell to the ground, and he was eaten of worms right before the eyes of the people. And the Bible went on to say why this happened. It says, because he gave not God the glory. And then it goes on to say, and the people feared the Lord. Folks, I'm telling you, we need to learn to fear the God of heaven. I'm saying that we best fear the God of heaven and realize His presence and realize His power. And we better get back to this in our country or we're sunk. And we better get back to this in our churches or we're sunk. We need to realize that God is the God of heaven and fear Him. That's what's wrong with our society today. Men are doing all these horrendous acts to one another, and we do not realize the holiness of God standing over our shoulders. Let me tell you something, Christian. We don't need to pour more money into social programs. That's not going to be the answer. You probably remember about 8 years ago when the Maryland Association of Christian Schools was down in Annapolis, and we were down there fighting for our freedoms to make sure that the state didn't license our school. And they said, well, what is wrong with having a license? I said, sir, I said, my school is a ministry of my church. And we have a manual. We don't need your manual. I said, we have a head and we don't need your head. We don't need two heads. Anything's got two heads is a monster. Amen. And so we sat there and we argued back and forth. And back and forth it went. And they'd make their case and then it was, I felt like crawling under the table. Every time they'd make their case, all our group would go and look at me. So I just became the spokesman for the group. And boy, we went at it. And after about an hour and a half, he's standing up and he's leaning over the table and he's pointing his finger and yelling at me. I'm standing up, I'm leaning over the table, I'm pointing my finger and yelling back at him. And his whole point was that the state needed to come in here and license our school and watch over us because We just need to make sure that the kids are getting the quality education. And I said, sir, I said, don't you think you got enough to deal with your public education? Who's monitoring that? Well, we do have some problems. I said, you think? He said, well, we're addressing those problems. And I said, oh, yeah, what are you doing? Well, we're getting appropriations bill passed for this, and we're going to put more money in that, and we're going to increase this, and we're going to do that. And I said, sir, let me tell you something. All of that is not the answer. The answer is for the men of God to stand up with the Bible and preach the Bible and get the Word of God in the hearts of our kids. You've lost your education system because you took God out of the picture. And man, oh man, oh man, did the war begin. It was unruly is what it was. It was unruly. But folks, that's what's wrong with our society. We don't need more social programs. We don't need to upgrade the after school programs. We need a heart transplant, a new heart given through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Men need the Lord. Now, let me have you look back at the text in verse 18. There is no fear of God. But now look at this next part. Before their eyes. No fear of God before their eyes. Mankind has an eye problem. Are you listening? Mankind has an eye problem. One of our major problems is that the eyes of humanity were opened by Satan in the Garden of Eden. When Satan was tempting Eve, here's what he said. He said, young lady, listen, your eyes will be opened and you shall be as gods and knowing good and evil. And folks, that was true. That was true. Their eyes would be opened knowing good and evil. But I want you to know, folks, that was not an advantage for mankind. While that was true, and the devil sold it as something good, just like liberals try to sell you their policies as if this is good for you. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, and that's exactly what the devil tried to do. The devil came in and said, Eve, I got something for you here, and this is good for you. When you eat of that tree, in other words, when you sin, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be as gods. Folks, that was not an advantage for mankind. Because when man's eyes were opened to sin, man's eyes were closed to righteousness. And so it was not an advantage. The eyes are linked up to the heart and lead the heart to evil. In between the lust of the flesh and the pride of life in the book of 1 John, God places the lust of the eyes. So what Paul is saying here is that because there is no fear of God before men's eyes, the thing men see is sin and lust and every evil imagination. And folks, that's the thing that's missing, and that's the reason why you can't trust anyone, and that's the reason why you have to lock your doors, even when you pull in the church parking lot. That's why you got to lock your doors every time you leave your house. That's the reason why people are killing one another. That's the reason why people are scared to death, and that there's no, because there is no fear of God before their eyes. Man, we need to get back to that, folks. That secretary sat across the table from me, and he said, what we need is more money. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. How much money is it going to take to fix the education problem in our state? How much money? He looked at me and he said, well, I'm not sure we have figures on that. I said, no, you're sitting here telling me that I'm not doing it right because the state's not controlling my church and my school. And you're saying you are doing it right and the evidence does not show that you are. So you're telling me you need more money. Let me ask you, sir, how much money do you need? Folks, money is not the answer. The gospel is the answer. You got to change a man's heart. You've got to change a man's heart to get him to fear the Creator of the universe, his Creator, and the only way that you can do that is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now they're doing everything in their earthly power to keep us from preaching the gospel. Well, let the war begin, because we're going to preach the gospel. You see, folks, an evil heart looks for evil through evil eyes. I submit to you that all this social program stuff, and after school care, and all this, that's not the answer. I think you ought to feed the hungry. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think you ought to help people. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm telling you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the world's answer. The answer is the gospel. The answer is to put God back into our society. The answer is to proclaim the truth of God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to change lives. Down in Florida, a couple years ago, I got this in my files and I read it again the other day. There's a 19-year-old girl who was unmarried. She had a 3-year-old baby. You do the math. She's 19 now. She had a 3-year-old baby. When she got pregnant again, she took a pistol and shot herself in the stomach, killing the fetus at 6 months. They arrested her and charged her with murder. And here's the condition of our country now, folks. Here's where we are. Now, you think about it. The policeman that they interviewed for the story said if she had only a month earlier gone to the hospital and had an abortion, legally killing the baby, nothing would have been said. This is where we are in our society. This is where we are. You know what she needed? You know what she needed? She needed a loving mom and dad to sit down with her with a Bible that told her about a loving God. And she needed a mom and dad who said, "Honey, here's the way, walk ye in it." Instead of just turning her over to the school system, instead of just turning her over to a babysitter, instead of just turning her over to society, she needed a mom and dad to sit down with her and open the Bible and say, "Now look, honey, here's the way." That girl needed to get saved. That's what she needed. And folks, if she had gotten saved, things would have been different. Things would have been different. Oh, I know what liberalism would have said. Liberalism would have said she needed her school to provide a better daycare system. Liberalism would have said she needed public aid and job training. Liberalism would have said she needs to be sent to Unwed Mothers Anonymous and get some counseling. No, dear friend, she needs the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ will change it all. When she got right with God, then she would have had the hand of God upon her life, and God would have directed her paths. If she feared God, she wouldn't be out committing adultery to start with. Amen. And folks, every person in this room needs to learn how to fear God. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you do that?" Well, you got a book right here that tells you all about Him. And you get in this book right here and learn about God and who He is and what He is and what He can do and what He's going to do and what He has done. And you will learn to fear God. How did you learn to fear the policeman? How did you listen? Every single one of us, we're going down the road and we go around a corner or we go over a rise and there's a policeman sitting down in the middle of the thing of the medium or sitting off to the side of the road. And every single one of us hits that brake and lets off on that gas. Don't tell me you don't. You could be going 10 miles under the speed limit and you go over that hill and see that policeman sitting there and you let off. How did you learn that? Who taught you that? You learned that by practical experience. You learned that by life. And folks, let me tell you something. You get in this book and you live in this book and you're going to learn to fear the God of heaven. He is a wonderful God. Oh, His mercies endure forever. He just keeps giving and giving and giving. And His benefits are out of this world. You can't beat eternal life. You can't beat that with a stick. And that's one of His precious benefits. But not only that, you get all of His benefits in life. Folks, I don't know how unsaved people deal with distress and pain and heartache and sorrow in life. Man, we sat over there at that hospital this week, and you know, you just can't imagine the fears that go through your heart. But every time a fear came into my heart, I just said, okay, Lord, bless. Lord, I'm going to put my faith in You. Lord, I'm going to put my trust in Your abilities. God, I'm going to put my trust in Your strength. And boy, the Lord worked everything out to His honor and His glory. God will never let you down. Oh, you're going to have to go through trials. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be difficulties in life. But you'll have the Lord standing right there by your side. Yes, it would have been a whole lot easier for the last 8.5 months. We didn't have to worry about Lauren's health and the baby's health. Yes, it would have. And there's been but boy, it's drawn us closer. Drawn us closer as a family. Drawn us closer to God. Man, you spend your time thinking about your daughter and your granddaughter. And what's it do? It causes you to pray. Oh, Lord, bless. And then it's just all one big cycle where we're walking with the Lord. And folks, that's the key to living that Christian life. And that's the key, realizing who God is. Let me ask you, dear Christian, do you fear the Lord this morning? Do you fear Him? If you're here today and you're not saved, listen, do you fear God? I mean, Jesus said, don't fear man. You got to fear the One who has the power. Oh, yeah, man can kill your body, but he can't kill your soul. But God can kill both. God can kill both. Better fear God. But I'm so glad I can stand here today and tell you that God has made a way for us to make sure that our souls are saved and on their way to heaven. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Are you fearing God? Folks, I hope you have a better understanding, a better idea of what this matter is. Let me close with this passage of Scripture. You remember it, Genesis 39. Joseph is in the house of Potiphar. He's his head servant. And Potiphar's out doing state business. He's out working. And Mrs. Potiphar looked at Joseph, and she thought she would entice him to sin. And she came and she grabbed a hold of him, and Joseph said, "No, ma'am. No, sir. I am not going to do this." She said, "Oh, come on." He said, "No." And he pulled away, left his coat in her hands, and he fled. And here's what he said. He said to her, "How could I do this thing against my God? How could I do this sin and this great wickedness against my God?" You know what that is? That is fearing God. That is realizing who God is and what He can do and what He is. And my friends, I want you to know that's what all of us need in our lives. That fear of God will keep us from doing something foolish. Just fearing God and His authority. May God help us to fear Him this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around for just a moment. Father, speak to our hearts today. Open our understanding to what we have heard. Lord, help us to realize that our faith, our hope, our trust needs to be in You and in Your authority and in Your power. Father, I pray that every one of us here today will take examination of our spiritual condition and see where we are in our relationship with You. Father, bless us now, we pray in Christ's name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. No one looking around, please. How many of you here today will say, "Pastor, I'm saved. I know it, no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know in whom I have believed. I'm saved." Would you raise your hand and testify that you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? You say, "Preacher, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven, and I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I know that. I know that." Amen. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Now, our heads are still bowed. Dear friend, listen to me. God wants to be your Savior. He wants to save your soul today. I don't think it's an accident that you came to church today. I think God led you here so you could hear the message on fearing God. And if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will bless and speak to your heart, help you to see your need. I want you to know that I love you. I care about you. I prayed for you this week, although I didn't know who you'd be, but I knew that there would be folks here today that need the Lord. And I prayed for you that God would speak to your heart when you came. And now you're here. And I'd like to pray for you again. How many here today will say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I do not know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about my spiritual condition. I'm concerned about my soul. Pastor, would you pray for me today? Would you slip your hand up and let me pray and ask God to bless and help you this morning? Yes, thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. And I want you to pray for me. Anybody else? Before we pray, anybody else? Yes, thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure, but I know I need to be saved, and I want you to pray for me. Anyone else before we pray? All right, let me ask this. How many of you here are saved? And you'll say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart this morning. I realize that I don't fear God like I should. And my lack of fear has caused me to not live for the Lord like I should. And I know that God wants me to serve Him and wants me to live for Him. But, Pastor, God's dealing with me this morning. I'm saved, but God's dealing with my heart, Pastor. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over and let me pray for you this morning? Yes, God bless you and you and you. Yes, many, many hands. God bless you. God bless you. Up in the balcony, yes, God bless you, folks. I see your hands. Thank you. All right, let's pray together. Now, our Father, we thank you for your grace, and I pray that your grace will meet the needs of our hearts this morning. Father, for these that are not sure they're saved, may they realize their need of Christ today. And Lord, may they walk down this aisle and let us take the Bible and show them from the Word of God how they can know they're going to heaven. And Lord, I also pray for Christians that, Lord, folks that know they're saved and they're on their way to heaven, but Father, you're dealing with their hearts this morning as well. Father, give us that reverential awe of who you are. Lord, help us to get in the Word and to grow and to be what we ought to be for the cause of Christ. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Continue to work now and speak through the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.